two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey. I know we're going to see the Pac-12 in 2 weeks, but we're going to see the Big Ten next,
This weekend, man.
Yeah, this weekend.
All and, exciting.
A lot of stuff.
Mountain West firing
back up
again.
A lot of stuff is happening. Good football games in the NFL, and a lot to look forward to.
We're excited because there's a lot to talk about still, and we've been you know, piecing together the season here as it's gone along, and we've been able to watch some good football. And, of course, here locally being able to have BYU playing and playing some decent football has been fun to be able to talk about. Joining us right now, however, he's the voice of the Utah Utes. Bill Riley joins us on the program. Bill, how's everything up on the Hill? Everything looking like it's shaping up like we're going to see some football on November 6th?
Well, that's what they tell me. I don't get to see anything, but they tell me everything is going well.
So that's what I was going to say is that what – I know that the SIDs, the sports information directors at these schools, they do the, oh, shoot, we can't have you guys up for media availability. It's like a dream come true for them because they just go, well, you can join us on a computer. But what are you gathering from the coaches so far and from the players? We've watched some of these Zoom interviews with these players. What have you been impressed with that allows you to be impressed by so far?
Well, I get to talk to a lot of people, whether it's a Zoom interview or text messages or getting people on the phone, and it sounds like camp's moving along really well. They haven't had any major injuries up there, which is good with the crazy off season. They like their offense an awful lot. I talked to Kyle Whittingham on our coach's show the other night, and he said, you know, they've narrowed it down to two quarterbacks. I think we can all assume it's either Rising or Bentley. And he told me, he goes, whoever wins the job, we will feel good about. We've got two really good quarterbacks. And then he always says, oh, well, we've got three. But to be very fair, they've got the two guys, and they feel good about that. So, you know, on the offensive side of the football, I think things are good. Defensively, I think he likes the talent he's got, in the secondary especially. Up front, everybody's talking about up front. You know, they're replacing starters. But you guys know, Utah rolls 7, 8, 9, 10 defensive linemen a game. So, if Fotu and Anai and Pennacini are gone, but those guys that are going to be playing have played tons of snaps. So it's not like they're new to the game. They'll be new starters, but the secondary is really the area. And they love their talent, but as Kyle said the other day, we just need a lot of reps. He said, we need as many reps as we can possibly get in between now and the opener to get these guys game ready. So, again, I think he likes the talent he's got, but he just wants to get them as many reps as possible.
I wonder if they would ever consider the ones against the ones just to get the best possible, you know, speed and talent and effort and energy that you could, as opposed to maybe, you know, a scout team or a look team type of thing. I don't know. I just thought of that as you were saying that. You know, it's about reps, but it's also about the quality of reps and simulating as much as you can in a game situation. I'm curious.
Well, you know, the scrimmages they do, Scott. I mean, last Saturday they had a scrimmage where the offense stood out. They're going to have their second and last scrimmage this Saturday. So, but it wouldn't surprise me if in the course of just the daily practice up there they did some of that this year, especially just because, as you said, the defense especially really needs those reps.
Speaking of the defensive line, I was going through some of these players. I know there's some young guys in the secondary that might play, Nate Ritchie, Clark Phillips III, and I'm wondering if any of these defensive linemen, Van Fillinger, Xavier Carlton, are they going to see any time, or are they just not ready yet?
No, Kyle Whittingham. I asked him. I said, "Who, you know, you're going to play true freshman this year." You know, starting wise, I think two of the guys you mentioned, Ritchie and Phillips, both have a chance to start. But again, as we said with the defensive line, there's three true freshmen on the defensive line that I think you're going to see getting reps. On the inside, we've got a mess of Putu Taos at Utah this year. You know, Hauti is the oldest, but the youngest, Tennessee Putu Tao, just back from his mission, true freshman. He has stood out in camp so far, as have Fillinger and Carlton on the end. So I would be very surprised, Scott, if we don't see all three of those guys playing. Whether they start or not remains to be seen. But we know the way they roll fresh bodies in on that defensive line. I'd be really surprised if all three of those guys, Putu Tao, Fillinger, and Carlton, don't play quite a bit this year.
Let's go to from the young guys to, like, the oldest guy. Britton Covey has had one of the most weird journeys, you know, we've seen of any local guy. We've seen this type of thing down at BYU, I think, a lot when, you know, I think Taysom Hill might be comparable where it's like, man, these guys just keep getting hurt or on top of, you know, all the other things that have gone on. Where is he now in his development? Because I think there are a lot of folks that want to see so much more because they saw so much out of a young Britton Covey. Where is he at right now, kind of mentally and prep-wise for this season?
Well, mentally, that kid, he's a Covey. So let's just start right there. He's always sharp.
He has seven habits. Got it, yeah.
Well, Guy Holliday and Kyle Whittingham and even some of the guys have said this is the best physically he's looked, even going back to his freshman year.
Wow.
You know, he's 23 years old now. He's as physically strong as he's ever been, and the quickness and the wiggle and the speed is all back too. And you're going to see him line up, Alex, as a running back. You're going to see him line up in the slot. You're going to see him line up wide as a wide receiver. You're going to see him in fly sweeps. They are going to – Andy Ludwig said we're going to use him as a guerrilla warrior. He's going to be everywhere in this Utah offense, which I know makes your partner and mine, Scott Mitchell, very happy.
the spreading everything out is always fun from a quarterback standpoint because you have all these – he's one of these just, you know, back pocket, you know, weapons for anybody, and especially when you have a new quarterback who can just go, I can rely on this guy.
That's exactly right, and I think and Holliday was pretty pointed yesterday when we talked to him. He said, "Hey, this may be a pandemic year, but he said we've had plenty of time to work. Wide receivers and quarterbacks. He said we got no excuses. He said we've had plenty of time to work and get to know one another and know what to do. So Holliday and the wide receiving core are not going to use this weird year that we've had with no spring football as any kind of excuse." That's kind of how Guy Holliday is. He's kind of a no-nonsense guy. But at the end of the day, he said, hey, we're ready to go, and we're on the same page as our quarterbacks.
I've never asked you this question, but who do you think is going to be the starting quarterback? What's your gut telling you?
I thought for a long time, Scott, that it would be Jake Bentley based upon his experience. But the more this goes on and the more I kind of read between the lines and some comments, I think Cam Rising has got a real opportunity to be the quarterback. He knows the system. I asked Kyle about arm talent. He said the arm talent is comparable with both those quarterbacks. And there's an athleticism to Cam Rising that the other two quarterbacks don't have. He's not a, you know, not a running quarterback, but he can run if he has to. He's the best athlete of the three. So, and I thought it was interesting last weekend after they selected captains, Kyle Whittingham said, because Jake Bentley was selected a captain, he said, don't read anything into Jake Bentley being selected a captain and starter status. one doesn't have anything to do with the other. So I don't know for sure, but as much as I was on Bentley early and throughout the offseason because of his experience, I kind of think Cam Rising's got a real chance to be that guy.
Would Andy Ludwig ever do the kind of switch him out interchangeably type of thing, or have like a situational, or is that too complicated to have a two quarterback, you know, situation that they've had in the past before?
No, I don't think so. I mean, like I said, Cam Rising's not a running back who's turned into a quarterback or anything like that. He's a guy he's a quarterback. So I don't think Andy necessarily comes from, I mean, if he's going to run Wildcat, maybe he does it with one of his tailbacks instead, or with Britton Covey. You know, Covey's a guy that's a former quarterback, so maybe you could have some fun trick plays there. But I couldn't see a situation where they rotate quarterbacks now.
He's Bill Riley. He's the voice of the Utes. And we love having Bill on because we get a little bit more insight than even Scott can offer sometimes. And that's and that's nutty to think that. Bill, we appreciate it. Have fun watching a little bit more football this weekend now that we're adding conferences here and there. And we appreciate you being a part of the program this week.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Okay, taking the break here. We'll come back. We got more to go after news, traffic, and weather right here on KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.